right, all right. So you probably figured this out already, but the slide for McLaughlin that said that it's 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., it is only till 11 a.m., all right? So if you're new to the church, you probably thought, man, these people are slave drivers here to bring my headlamp and weed in the dark. So 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Hey, next time we gather, it's going to be September. Can you believe that? Fall is upon us. And what that means is a lot of our programs will be kicking off again and getting restarted, like Royal Rangers and Missionettes on Wednesday nights. And we're looking forward to a really, really exciting time this fall. And I just want to encourage you, we have a lot of kids here at Bethel Church. We believe in ministering to young people and to our children, and we want to have just the very best experience possible here at Bethel Church for kids and for youth. And in order to help us, and we need teachers, we need helpers, we need people that can, you know, during the week even prepare crafts ahead of time and those kind of things. And so if you've got any interest at all, or God is speaking to you about being involved in children's ministries, there's a table out in the foyer, and you can go and sign up there, and someone will get a hold of you. I'll promise you this, we won't allow you to be put in any position before you have a background check, all right? We do that here at Bethel Church. And but we want you to get involved. Because our kids need it, and they deserve it. Well, we're going to get into God's Word this morning. If you're new, we've been in the middle of this series called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. And we've been going through the book of Proverbs and looking at various Proverbs. And we're being reminded in this series that Jesus not only saves us for eternity, He also shows us how to live our best life right now. And the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom from God and these wonderful wisdom sayings that help steer us and guide us through life. And this morning, we're going to be talking about a pretty big area of our lives, and it's the area of friendships. And as we consider this important area, friendships, it's important also that we remember what the Bible has to say about choosing our friends wisely and making good decisions about the friends that we choose. And we know as parents, that is one of the big things we do for our children, right? Is we try to teach them how to make good decisions when it comes to their friendships. And when our kids are young, it's a pretty easy area for us to have some control in. But as our kids get a little older and become teenagers, we have less and less influence about who their friends are, and we hope that what we have taught them as children will carry them through those teenage years. But according to the Bible, it's not just children and not just teenagers that need to think about choosing their friends wisely. As adults, we need to make good decisions in these areas as well. Amen? And so the Proverbs has a lot to say about making good decisions when it comes to our friendships and the importance of good friendships. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So speaking of this very positive impact that friendships can have upon our lives. And then also Proverbs 13:10, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." All right, so this one has, you know, both sides of the coin. Walking with the wise is going to make you become even more wise. You're going to learn more. You're going to be encouraged. But on the other hand, a companion of fools suffers harm. So there's a warning here that there are friendships that can become toxic. There are friendships that we need to guard against. Now, I just want to give you a few examples, and the Proverbs has many examples of friendships that we need to be on guard for. One of them is someone who's a gossip. Someone who's a gossip. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Nobody said amen to that. Yes. Yeah, so you know, we all know them. You know, people that just love to share, you know, tasty little morsels about other people. And we can get just drawn into that. We can get sucked into those conversations. We really need to be on guard about our friendship with those kinds of people. And then also the Bible warns us about being friends with a person who is quick-tempered. Proverbs 22:24, we actually looked at this same proverb a couple of weeks ago. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Why? Or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. So that anger always coming out is going to spill over into your life. The Bible also warns us about friendships with people who are sexually immoral. Ephesians 5, verses 11 and 12, coming into the New Testament, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And then finally, the Bible warns us about becoming too close of friends with a person who is in open rebellion to God. Psalm 1:1, very famous psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. All right. Now, that being said, should we have non-Christian friends? Of course we should. Yes, we must have non-Christian friends, for sure. Jesus was a friend to sinners, the Bible says. And thank God for that, because we're all sinners. Anybody else beside me thankful that Jesus is a friend to sinners? Yes, of course, of course. But also, remember this, while Jesus loved everyone, Jesus didn't allow everyone to influence him. Right? And so we follow the lead of Jesus in that area, and we're on guard in those friendships where they're starting to drag us down or draw us away from our relationship with Jesus. And I would include, you know, in this day and age also, who we're friends with on social media, right? The kind of posts that we read, the kind of things people are saying and writing about. Hey guys, these things impact us. They do. They affect our thinking. They affect our spirits and our hearts. They influence us. So be on guard. And so I want to just pause right now and just ask you to just think to yourself, you know, is there a friendship? Are you being influenced right now in a negative way by people in your life? And is that an area that you need to take a look at and maybe spend a little less time with some folks that are having a negative impact on your relationship with the Lord? It's a really hard question to ask, but it's an important question to ask. Okay, so now we're going to switch gears. And we're going to look at the other side of the coin. Because while the Bible does warn us about certain kinds of friendships, the Bible also absolutely encourages us, in fact, pushes us toward good, wholesome relationships with people that love Jesus. Amen? So what can a good, positive, godly, Jesus-loving person add to your life? All right, I'm going to give you five things. These are five just great reasons to get out of our bubble sometimes, to get out of our shell and make sure that we're developing good, healthy relationships. And the first one is this: a good friend will add joy to your life. Will add joy to your life. Psalm 133, verse 1. How wonderful and pleasant. Everybody say pleasant. how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. It's a good thing. Guys, you need friends that know how to make you laugh. All right? And in case you think laughing is not spiritual, it is. There's another proverb that says that laughter is like good medicine, right? And I've just seen so many times in my own life that I have walked away from dinner with somebody or a coffee with somebody or a game night. I went away and I had laughed so hard that night, and I just realized going to bed that night, man, that's exactly what I needed, right? Speaking of which, man, didn't we have a hoot and hollering time Friday night? Dinner and a show. Man, if you weren't here, you missed the soggy bottom boys, and I'm just sorry. So even as a church, there are times, there are events that we need to have as a church that are just fun. Right? They're just fun. They're just relaxing. We can have a good laugh. Listen, most of what we do as a church is pretty serious. Why? Because we're dealing with serious issues. But once in a while, guys, come on. We need to let our hair down. And it's not easy for me to let my hair down these days. It's just not a lot to let down there. But figuratively, you know, we need it. We need it. And it's refreshing to our soul. And this is one thing that good friendships are going to do for you. They're just going to lighten your heart. And that's really a good thing. Secondly, a good friend will help you grow. A good friend will help you grow. So we're going to go back to the proverb we looked at earlier, Proverb 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You need to have friendships in your life that you're so confident in your friendship and so at ease and so unafraid that you can actually speak truth into one another's lives, right? And you can challenge one another and encourage one another, not nitpick one another. None of us needs that. But to encourage one another to keep on excelling in our relationship with Jesus and keep on excelling in whatever you're doing, whether it's athletics or your business or your job or whatever it might be, you need people in your life that can encourage you and strengthen you in those areas. And number three is kind of similar. A good friend will drive you to excel. Drive you to excel. Listen, one of the great dangers of the Christian walk is after a while, after you've walked with the Lord for a while, you can, if you're not careful, you can kind of shift things into neutral, right? And you can kind of start coasting. And I'm just here to tell you, when you start coasting, it's only a short time that you're going to move from coasting to going backwards. It's really true. And a good friend is going to help you excel in your life. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, right? And so that good friend is really going to, again, in an encouraging way, they're going to help you just kind of get out of your comfort bubble, and they're going to help you to continue to grow in your relationship with God. They're going to encourage you to take that step of getting involved in serving, being involved in a ministry. They're going to encourage you in your gifting. Listen, I'm looking out, and I'm just saying, there are a lot of gifted people sitting in this place this morning. And the reason I can say that with confidence without even knowing you is because the Bible says that God has given every one of us gifts. Every one of us. And a good friend is going to help us excel in those giftings. And church, I just really believe that when churches in the Rogue Valley get a hold of the giftings of God and get on fire for Jesus and see those giftings from the Holy Spirit released, watch out, because God's going to win and the devil's going to lose. Hallelujah. A good friend is going to help you. He's going to drive you to excel. And then number four, so important, a good friend is there for you in your troubles. In your troubles. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. and a brother is born for a time of adversity, right? So when we go through those trials, those troubles in life, wow, doesn't mean that those circumstances or situations are going to change, but to walk through those things in life and to know someone has your back, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? Yes, we know the Lord's there, absolutely. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but God also puts people, his people, in our lives to walk with us during those times of trial, okay? Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of an example, and I got to say, I know this is a very extreme example. It's the example of Job, and I'm sure everyone in this room, there have been times in your life, maybe you kind of felt like Job, but probably in reality, nobody here has been through everything Job went through. I mean, you read that first couple of chapters of the book of Job. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty devastating. And the Lord was there for Job, but God also put some people in Job's life. He had some friends. Job chapter 2 and verse 11 says, Job had these three friends. One was named Eliphaz, one was named Bildad, and the other one's name was Zophar. And the Bible says, when they heard about the troubles that had come upon Job, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. So they were a long ways away. This was a big inconvenience, right? There was no telephone, guys. There was no just giving a phone call. They had to like pack up and take provisions and make a journey to go be with their friend. But that's how important it was to these guys. And then look at this, verse 12. It says, when they saw Job from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. This is how bad things had gotten for Job. They began to weep aloud. Now this is sincere. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying we need to go around throwing dirt on ourselves, but to put ourselves in someone else's shoes and really feel what they must be going through. To have that tender heart, that sensitivity that comes from God. And then it goes even further. Verse 13 says, they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Wow. Listen, sometimes, guys, it's because a lot of times we like don't go or we don't call because we don't know what to say. Sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing. Right? God hasn't sent you blum or tell them how they need to feel or how they need to think. God has sent you to simply be with them. And that's what Job's friends did. Now, granted, if you read later on, when these guys do start to talk, they make a mess of it. In other words, these guys were actually at their best without saying anything. They were. And they just went and they just sat with their friend and just let him know, we're here. You're not alone. We're here for you. And church, we need those kind of people in our lives. Can you say amen to that? So I want to address something this morning because I'm aware that many of you right now are being forced into very difficult decisions in your life because of this highly discriminatory and heavy-handed vaccine mandate. And some of you are at a very difficult point right now, and I want you to know you're not walking alone. You're not alone. Now listen, I want to make this clear. I'm not saying this morning that I'm anti-vaccine, all right? What I am saying, though, is the government should never be empowered to force people to put anything in their own body. Amen. And our governor has put you in a very difficult and unnecessary position. As far as I'm concerned, it amounts to bullying of the worst kind. So I want to speak a couple of things into your life specifically this morning to encourage you. First of all, I want to encourage you to ask God for wisdom. Pray. Ask God what you're supposed to do. James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So pray, ask God. It just may be that God is going to use this thing to move you into the next God-ordained season in your life. It could be that God is going to use this to get you to where you need to be, right? I don't know that, but that's for you to discover. So pray, ask God for wisdom, right? Second thing I want to encourage you to do today is be patient. Be patient. Don't be pressured into a hasty decision. My guess is that there's going to be a number of legal challenges to these mandates, right? So be patient. Wait. Don't rush into anything, okay? And the third thing I want to say is this. If you decide for you that you're going to apply for a religious exemption, I've been drafting a letter that I'm willing to personalize and sign on your behalf to go along with your application, okay? So this is a letter from your pastor that would go along with your application, okay? And I've crafted this letter. I've worded it very specifically because I want it to be something that I can say with integrity, okay? And I did this with you in mind because I want to help you. Two things, though, I want to say about this letter. First of all, I would like to personally meet with you and pray with you so that I can say in the letter with integrity that I met with you and had a conversation with you, okay? Secondly, I'm only offering this to people who attend church here, okay? Because, again, I want to be able to do this with integrity, and I personally am not going to just do a blanket cookie cutter letter, okay? So I do this as your pastor so that you know you're not walking alone. Yeah. So a good friend is going to be with you in your time of trouble. And then number five, a good friend will stick with you even if you've fallen into sin. Even if you've fallen into sin. Listen, church, we can be so guilty sometimes of shooting our wounded that at their biggest point of need, we turn our backs on them. And only add to, you know, what the enemy is already doing in their life. Man, we need good friends that are going to stick with us, church. Amen? No matter what. No matter what. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, this is what we're supposed to do. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. That's what real friends do. That's what we do. Right? A good friend will stick with you even if you've fallen into sin. Good friends. Now, of course, guys, Jesus, man, he's the ultimate example of what it means to be a good friend, right? Yeah, the ultimate picture of true love and friendship. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Now think about this. Jesus is God. He's God. And he's sitting down with his disciples here at the Last Supper, and he's saying, you're my friends. You're my friends. Can you imagine that? But he didn't just say it to them. He says it to us today. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, if you've given him your life, Jesus is your friend. How awesome is that, church? Yeah. And then he goes on to say, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down his life, one's life, for one's friends. So we've already mentioned that a true friend is someone who's going to make sacrifices for their friends. They're going to sacrifice their time. If necessary, they're going to sacrifice their resources. But now Jesus takes it a step way further. And he says a true friend actually is going to be someone who would even lay down their life for you if needed. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus has done for each and every one of his friends. He loves us that much. He sacrificed his life for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 7 says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. True love, true friendship. So listen, as we're talking about friendships this morning, the first and greatest friendship is having a friendship with Jesus. It all starts right there. Then out of our friendship with Jesus, all of our other friendships are going to be nurtured. And I will tell you this morning, personally, everything I know about real love, I've learned from Jesus. Everything I've learned about sacrifice, I've learned from Jesus. Everything that I've learned about being a good friend, I've learned from Jesus. It all starts with him. And then Jesus tells us that the same way that he's loved us, we're to love other people. John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus tells his disciples, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Amen? Listen, the world is not impressed with our church buildings, our steeples, our stained glass windows. The world is not impressed by those things. But what every heart longs for, whether they know it or not, is love. And love should be the hallmark of the Christian life. And so I'm here to tell you, church, the world's watching. The world's watching. Amen? Our love for one another. And so Jesus originally says this to the 12, turned into 11, of course, because of Judas. And then their group grew by the day of Pentecost into 120 disciples, staying together, praying together, loving one another. And then after the day of Pentecost, of course, that there was just an explosion in the church. 5,000 people are born again, at least 5,000 people that might only count the men, sorry, ladies, born into the kingdom of God suddenly on the day of Pentecost. And then after that, this love for the Lord and this love for one another, we see it being manifested in the early church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 tells us what it looked like for them. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I love this. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this early church, they had no money. They had no building. They didn't have support from the government. In fact, as they grew, the government would become increasingly antagonistic toward them. They had certainly had no support from the religious establishment. They opposed them every chance they got. But in spite of everything they didn't have, man, they were thriving in the things that mattered. Right? They were thriving. Why? Because they had the Lord and they had one another. And because they had the Lord and had one another, they loved Jesus, they loved one another. They had life and love and vitality and passion and influence. They were thriving just because of the simple, basic things. Friendship with Jesus and friendship with one another. All right? And so I just want to encourage us today as a church family. Man, maybe like never before, church, at least in my lifetime, we really need each other. We need each other. And for those of you who are online with us this morning, we want you to know you're a part of our family. Whether you're here or not, you're a part of our family and you're not alone. Even though you might be alone right now, you're not alone. You're not. We need each other, church. So I want to just draw us to three questions and then we're going to pray. And just to help you, I want you to think about these three questions as we close. First of all, are you engaged in healthy, life-giving friendships? Healthy, life-giving friendships. Okay? And I just don't take for granted that everybody is, because friendships cost us. They take time, they take energy, they take their toll sometimes. We've all been hurt by friends, right? And the tendency is to kind of tell ourselves, I'm not going to let that happen again. And I just want to challenge you, encourage you today, those walls that were intended to protect you have also served to isolate you. And with the Lord's help, it's time to kind of let those walls come down a little bit, right? Let people back into your life, because this is what Jesus wants you to do. Are you engaged in healthy, life-giving friendships? Number two, are you growing in the qualities required to be a good friend to others? Right? So instead of always thinking, well, if they were a good friend, they'd do this, they would do that, and they wouldn't be this way. No, you ask yourself how you can be a better friend, right? You let God work on them, and you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, become the best friend you can be to others. And that brings us to number three. Do you know someone right now who needs a friend in their time of trouble? Okay? You just make that a matter of prayer. Maybe God is going to lay somebody on your heart that needs a phone call, needs an old-fashioned card in the mail, right? Needs some prayer, needs a cup of coffee. Do you know someone right now who needs a friend in their time of trouble? All right, let's bow our hearts together. Hallelujah. Bow your heart before the Lord this morning, church. Before we move on, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Before we move on, I want to give an opportunity right now to just go back to where I said, and this is so true, that when it comes to friendships, it all starts with Jesus. It's the first and most important friendship. And this morning, I want you to know that if you need people in your life, the first step is to have Jesus in your life. It's the first step. I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you haven't been walking with the Lord, if when I talked about Jesus being your best friend, there was something in your heart that was just saying, wow, he just seems distant. I want you to know he doesn't have to be distant. He doesn't even want to be distant. He wants to be at the very center of your life. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants to walk with you and do life with you. He wants to be the one that bears your burdens. He wants to be the one who shares those times of joy as well as those times of sorrow in your life. And he's the one that can do that. He's the only one that can really do that. He's the only one that can forgive our sins and set things right with God. So if you're here this morning or you're watching online, I want to give you an opportunity right now to open up your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, either your life for the first time or you need to recommit, you need to reconnect with Jesus today. When I get to the number three, I want to just ask you to raise your hand up. And when you do that, you're just letting me know that this is hitting home and you're going to pray right now and open your heart to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to count to three. You raise your hand. You raise your hand if you want to be included in this prayer. One, two, three. That's you today. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. Wait just another moment. I want to pray right now with those who've raised their hand. I'm going to invite you to just pray this very simple prayer along with me. Lord Jesus, I bring my life to you today. And right now, I just open up the door to my heart. And I invite you to come in. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. But Jesus, I believe you still love me. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And so I invite you into my life and I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Lord, I want you to be my best friend. My best friend. Amen. Father, right now, I also just want to pray for anybody here. They're saved, they're walking with you, but other than that, they feel pretty isolated and alone. I just want to pray for their heart right now, God. I pray that you will bring the right kind of people into their life. I pray that you will help them to be a good friend to others. I pray that you will help them to get outside of that comfort zone, because we all need a good friend in our lives, Lord. Lord, you love them and you want them to thrive. You want them to grow and you don't want them to be alone. So I pray, God, that you will help them to have, God, those godly, good, healthy friendships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.